Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
So talking about you for those, I got one more sentence to do this email.
It's 7 past the hour on Doug Stephan's Good Day. That is Victoria Keelan, along with Jennifer Horn. I am Rich McFadden, and the illustrious host of the show, Doug Stephan.
Yes, here I am, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads. There are two, always opportunities for me to make choices. One of them is a discussion of Passover. The other is a discussion of the problems that Flint is having with water. Actually, there are a number of different things that are in front of me at the moment. The two key players in Flint's water crisis are dead. So, case closed. Everything's all set, right?
No. Or was it murder?
Well, suicide, maybe. Did you say Jennifer was here?
Yeah.
She's right there.
Okay. Why? I said hi. I laughed. Yeah.
Hi. Or is it more interesting to talk about Passover and how different it is this year for all the Jewish people in our country? Do you know what an Ashkenazi Jew is?
Couldn't tell you.
Isn't that the overalls that the kids wear, the Ashkenazis?
Yeah, Ashkenazis.
No, it's Oshkosh Begosh, but
oh,
that's good.
Oh, sorry. Ashkenazi, I think, is the... It's an Eastern European Jewish, but it's only 1% of the entire Jewish population is Ashkenazi.
Right. I think they're more, like I believe they are more conservative than the Hasidic Jews.
Yeah.
And the Hasidic Jews are more really Israeli Jews, I think, than Eastern European Jews.
The Jews of Germany, it says.
Ashkenazis or the, they're the ones who.
From the Holy Roman Empire.
Right, they're the original. They can say it's really interesting.
Yeah. I think it would have been what Jesus was born into.
That's what it looks like.
Yes, the real true Jew. I think New York has the largest group of Jewish citizens outside of Israel of any place in the world. And somebody was really surprised last
Florida.
Week. Well, Florida. The east coast of Florida. Why did you say that? Did you just try to be funny?
No, it's because I know a lot of Jews that go to Florida. It's just the way it is.
I know a lot of non-Jews that go to Florida, too.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting how not just Jewish people, but people are tribal. And I think this was when I look at the Passover Seder and some of the things that are going on this week, it's very interesting. You look at the documentaries, yada, yada, yada. But I would find more interesting in this discussion of what their traditions are, how we all have traditions. Many of them are based on religion. Some are based on our political or our national background. But we like to find our pack. We find our crowd. We find our crew. And we like to be with them. I find it's a fascinating thing. We're all part of the human species, but yet we keep sort of dividing ourselves down into
small
little groups.
Tell the story about your brown cows and your black cows. I thought that was fascinating. Always
to extend this a little bit, this may be what the world is about. We may be part of the lesson that we don't understand for whatever the reason. The species, there are basically six traditional breeds of cows, and they are called A1 or A2. A1 cows are the newer breeds, Holsteins, and the bigger breed of dairy cow, anyway, whose milk is not as good as the old breeds, which are brown cows, Jerseys and Guernseys, to a point, brown Swiss. But what Richie's getting at is that when you put them in the pasture, they will separate themselves by the color of their skin.
That's
black cows, Holsteins, will graze together. And brown cows, Jerseys, Guernseys, etc., will graze in another part of the pasture.
Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
That really is.
culturally that trying to integrate cultures is futile, basically.
I think you're maybe right. Yeah, it's sort of what I was getting at, Jennifer. Thank you. You've heard me. We've sort of gone down this route in different ways before, treated it differently. But I think it's we find it. I find it fascinating that we are all so much alike. And that we want to separate ourselves into the Irish, the Italians. There's neighborhoods in Framingham and most older communities that have a downtown area, Waverly Street in that area, all Italians. There isn't a non-Italian for six blocks on either side. All the Italians, the old Italian families are all there. And then there's another part of town where there are a lot of Irish people. And then the Brazilians all live in a certain part of town. The WASPs tend to live in a certain part of town, and so it goes.
My philosophy is still that in 500 to 1,000 years, we'll all be beige, and there will be no distinct.
Well, there certainly is
race.
That now, but
look
there's
at my
but
house.
We have Chinatown, but yeah, yeah you but there but we have in most big cities there's Chinatown. Good God, look at Los Angeles, Koreatown. How many different divisions are there?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, Jennifer?
There's Little Armenia, there's
right.
Chinatown, Koreatown, there's, yeah, I mean, gosh, you have lots of places.
So I just looked it up.
Especially in downtown LA alone.
I just
alone.
Searched Jews around the world, okay, yeah, so for like population.
Yeah.
There are approximately 14.2 million Jews around the world.
18, I think the number is now, but it's close. All right.
I'm looking at Wiki. Don't question Wiki, dude.
All right.
About 6.3 million of them live in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
5.7 to 6.8 million live in the United States, and then it goes down dramatically from there, just over a million in Europe, and then in France, yeah.
That's what surprised me when I went to Europe and found that in the Czech Republic, there are zero Jews living
right.
there, and all of these beautiful synagogues.
Oh,
because,
right.
So it goes down.
But because
down,
of Hitler,
down.
They never
yeah,
came
they
back.
In a, they didn't go
yeah.
back.
There's an interesting subsect in Dublin, Ireland, where my dad is from, and there's a whole Jewish population in Dublin. Which,
really?
Yeah, I never knew that until recently.
I've been in Dublin.
What country has
that.
The lowest Jewish population?
It'd be a Middle Eastern country.
Somewhere in Europe, I would think.
No,
Middle Eastern.
Bahrain, 36.
Yeah. There you go, 36.
Yeah. I believe there are over a million Jews that live in New York City, Victoria, if I'm not mistaken.
I would definitely agree with that number, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot
Let
of
me look real quick.
But see, what we're talking about, I'm not talking about the religious differences, really, is the cultural differences and how it is that it doesn't make a difference what your clan is, but you'll want to be with your clan depending on your generation. I believe the millennials, to a point, Richie, what you were saying, the younger baby boomers don't pay as much attention to it as the older, the baby boomers that...
Yeah.
Around part of it was Vietnam and the way people were sort of brought together during the Vietnam War, especially people who wore a uniform. That was certainly true of World War II. But now, as more and more people come to this country and more you see a lot of mixed marriages where the parents are not from the same background. And
look at my
what
kid's
I remember,
class picture. Good Lord.
Yeah. What I remember, and this is tragic, but yet it's reality. It was reality. I don't think it is at all so much now. But I remember, I wasn't even comfortable with the name. I don't know that it's used anymore. Mulatto. There was a one kid in Framingham High School whose father was black and mother was white. And the reference was to a mulatto. I think that term is still used to a point. I'm not sure whether it's socially correct or not, politically correct. But there's so much more of that. It's accepted now. Nobody pays any attention to it, as well they ought not to, because all it is skin color. But yet there are those. I can remember on a school bus ride once, one of the kids making fun of this mulatto as a half-breed. And this was, this is not that long ago when you got down to brass tacks. And so that sort of mentality is still there to a point. But I just think it's sad. I mean, I think it's interesting to look at different cultural stuff. That's why I was talking about Passover. But why is it that we have to, that's fun to know. It's interesting to learn. We know why people are motivated to do this, that, or the other thing, like having fish on Friday or, corned beef and cabbage or whatever the heck it is. But yet some people are so put off by those who are different. And yet if you look around, we're all different. We really are. We all have kind of that weird, crazy mix. And I think it's to
be celebrated. By the way, in the United States, Mm-hmm. Top three, New York, Miami, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But then the rest are all coastal towns, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Boston.
You're talking about where Jews live?
In the United States, yeah.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Washington, the only non-east-west coast town, Chicago.
Not many Jews
sense.
In Chicago?
Yeah.
There were a lot of Jews.
Well, I'm just talking about the largest population areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so if we were to take that and break it down even further, where do most of the blacks and Hispanics live? I think you would find that in some circumstances, I mean, now Hispanics are living, excuse me, it used to be it was all southwestern cities, Los Angeles.
Now it's everywhere.
Tucson,
right?
Now it's everywhere. As a matter of fact, I would bet you that there are as many Hispanics living in Chicago as there are living, let's say, down in some of the cities in the southeast.
Probably.
And mostly, it's not a cultural thing so much now as it is where's their work? Where you can find people to do the work. We were talking yesterday. I'm going to involve myself in a project with some people, some developers, and they were talking about the crews. Yesterday we had a meeting talking about the crews who are doing the work, the building, and most of them are Hispanic. Most of them are Brazilians. Now, the framing crews, that sort of thing. You wouldn't have found that 25, 30 years ago, here where I am anyway. So yeah, the world is changing. And maybe that's just a good thing. 21 after the hour and good day. Like a lot of you, I used to struggle with my rest. That was before I met Mike Lindell and was fit for MyPillow. This is a different story now. MyPillow is fit to me. It'll be fit to you. How you sleep, how you're on your side or your back. MyPillow fits perfectly. At night, you move the patented MyPillow fill to the right place for you. It'll support your head, your neck. It'll cradle you, and you'll get a great night's sleep. This is a life changer. MyPillow doesn't go flat. It doesn't get hot. And the patented fill stays put. You'll like it, and you'll sleep like a baby. Here's the special offer. Buy one MyPillow, and you'll get another one for your partner free. Two pillows for the price of one. Don't get another bad night's rest. Call 800-874-8985. That's 800-874-8985. Use the promo code DS for your free pillow. Start sleeping better right away. Call 800-874-8985 or go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to use the promo code DS.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This five-time All-Star and seven-time Gold Glover won 270 games in an 18-year career. He's one of just nine players in history with 100 wins for two different teams.
Broken back grounder to Ransom at shortstop. Fires to first. That's the ball game. Mike Mussina, a 20-game winner for the first time in his career.
So where is Mike Mussina now? Mike is a collector of tractors and vintage cars. And he's also a crossword puzzle enthusiast. In fact, he was even featured in the 2006 documentary, Wordplay. In 2011, Mike became just the 10th former Yankee to throw out the ceremonial first pitch of the season at Yankee Stadium. And a year later, he was inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame.
Well, it's a great honor to be included in the same breath with guys like Demper and Junior and Palmer.
Great honor for the Moose, Mike Mussina. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So which is the better teacher, success or failure? Or put another way, do we learn more from our successes or our mistakes? Here's the science of it. It seems the brain rapidly forgets our successes. But when it comes to our mistakes, well, the brain has a built-in warning system, which when activated, tries to help you avoid making the same mistake twice. Researchers found that the brain's mechanism to avoid activates about 1/10 of a second after exposure to a similar previous screw-up. The brain's neural signs to bask in success, however, takes much longer. What's the cheap psychological trick? The human brain is smarter than you think. Given the chance, it will alert you to avoid previous painful decisions. Maybe you ought to start listening. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.